I'm Kathy Forstein, music director at KC Cafe Radio. Mick Bird has been a friend of KC Cafe Radio almost from the beginning of the station. Mick has produced 8 CDs, and his newest is Roots in Ozark Blues. On February 13th, Mick will be back in Kansas City playing at the Uptown Arts Bar from 7 to 9 p.m. Mick, thank you again for chatting with me today on KC Cafe Radio.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Good morning.
Good morning. Let's talk about your show at Uptown first. Uptown Arts Bar is at 3611 Broadway in Kansas City, Missouri. You're going to be playing on February 13th from 7 to 9, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Ray Spiller on cajon, Joe Dunlap on lead guitar, and I were invited to be part of the Fringe Festival last year, which you as well were part of in KC Cafe. And our venue that we played at was the Uptown Arts Bar. We really love the acoustics there. The surroundings, a very neat little concert sort of setting that you don't get in a lot of places. There weren't clinking plates and crashing glasses and things of that nature. It was a great spot to listen to music, and the people who came to listen to us at that point to really seem to enjoy it. So we booked back, and we'll be there on February 13th.
It's a great venue to listen to music. They've got like a little area in the back, a little stage, and room to seat anywhere from 30 to 70 people, I think. And you know, they have their own little space there for performances, and so it's a nice venue to go and hear good music. What can listeners expect to hear at your show?
I think they can expect to, first of all, see three people who really enjoy what they do. I think enjoyment in a performance is contagious, and Joe and Ray and I have been playing together a little bit over a year. We enjoy the interplay of instruments and personalities, and as far as sounds, you're going to hear that intersection of Delta blues and country and roots rock. I think that makes us sort of fetching. There's lots of different sorts of sounds there, but still kind of woven into a complete thing where people is going to know when they hear the music, that's the Backroad Band.
And you'll have CDs available for purchase. I know you're going to do some kind of special offer with admission.
Yes, we are. With your $10 admission, that includes for each person who walks in the door and pays their $10, they get a free Mick Bird CD of their choice. I think that's a pretty good offer for somebody going to a concert, but it also enables us to spread our music. And we haven't been to Kansas City much. Kathy, we're a relatively new band. I've been there a good number of times, as you know, over the years, usually for something connected with KC Cafe, as a matter of fact. Which I appreciate. But for the band, we're new, and we'd like to entice people to come in the door, because we think if they hear us, they'll be back.
Right. Yep. And Uptown Arts Bar, once again, is at 3611 Broadway in Kansas City, Missouri. And that show's on February 13th from 7 to 9 p.m. So make sure you mark that down on your calendar and get out there and hear Mick and the Backroad Band. It's going to be a great show. I think you'll really enjoy it. You're going to be playing some new songs too, aren't you?
Yes, Kathy. We try to keep the new song pipeline going. We play all original music. And in fact, we're discussing right now just what sort of recording is going to be next. I do have 8 out already. This last one with the Backroad Band is called Roots and Ozark Blues. It's been out for a little over a year. We're very proud of it. I think it's a very, very fine recording. But we're already talking about what's next down the pike. And we've got, I think, some really, really good choices. As you know, I go to Nashville on a semi-regular basis and play at the Bluebird. We've got 3-4 little country pieces we think are real sharp. And right now, I'd say that might be the direction that we'd be heading with a new recording.
Mm-hmm. More of a country sound?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And I know that your guitarist is a really good blues player. Is he also good at playing country and that style?
Oh, my goodness,
well?
Yes. Yes, he is. In fact, most of his experience on the road is as a country player. And here in the heart of the Midwest, you know, there's so much of what we do, Kathy, that is influenced by country, even if you wouldn't call it country music. Mm-hmm. And there's so much of what we do that's influenced by old-time Delta blues, even if you wouldn't call it blues, if you would hear it, the influences are all there. And sometimes genres are more limiting than they are enlightening.
Right.
And folks say, well, I like this type of music. And, you know, that's what I want to hear. There's a lot of great music out there in all different kinds of genres. Heck, we're even doing a couple rap songs now, mainly for fun.
Really? That's funny.
Yeah, it is.
So are these original rap songs? Or?
Sure. Sure, really? They're original rap songs. The only cover we do for folks is we'll play them Happy Birthday if it's their birthday. That's it.
Really? Okay. Yes. I got to hear this rap thing. That sounds really intriguing
to me.
They're
pretty silly.
Yeah, that's great. That's funny. So the new songs you're going to be playing at Uptown?
Yes. Yes, we are. In fact, the majority of our show is going to be brand new music, Kathy. We try to keep those, as I said, those new song pipelines going. And, you know, new music is always fresh to you. We certainly enjoy when people request a song from back in the day, and we'll sure do that if we remember it to play it. But it's also neat to hit your audience with stuff that they've never heard before, because that first time listen, I think, is a really, really cool experience that you don't repeat. You know, mm-hmm. The next time you hear a song, it's not the first time you've heard it anymore.
Right.
And you, when you go into something with a mind open and fresh ears, it's kind of a cool thing.
And I know when I heard you play this past weekend, and you did a lot of new stuff at that show as well. And I was blown away by the new stuff. So
Thank you.
I think people are going to really enjoy hearing your new tunes. If they're familiar with your music, you're going to enjoy the new stuff as well.
Well, I certainly hope so, Kathy. That's the point. There's a new single that we're doing that we're getting a great response from called Moline, about a musician on the road, and you know, all the things that happen when you're away from home and that longing for something sweet and familiar. That's a song that I definitely is going to be recorded the first chance that we get. Another song called Dead End Blues has a real Kenny Wayne Shepherd feel. Mm-hmm. We're getting a great response from that, as well as a country song called Straight. Includes a play on words about how people want their love. You know, straightforward and honest and committed. And a good number of roots rockers are in the show as well. I don't think people are going to get bored.
Yeah, great. And you call your sound Roots and Ozark Blues. How did you come up with that term?
Well, we're all a product of all the music that we've heard, Kathy. I think over the years that my music has evolved from really a much more traditional ballad folk basis to a lot rowdier conglomeration of all the music that's here in my life that I'm surrounded with. Everything from classic rock to old ZZ Top tunes to traditional country. And the Ozark Blues is a way for us to incorporate that down-home feel and the country influence that we use in our music, and also songwriting topics. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not much into the angst of life. I think you can hear that around every corner that you go. That's part of it. And we've got a couple sad things that we play, but there's an awful lot of good in life as well. Mm-hmm. And music should be a cause, among many other things, not just for enlightenment or learning. It also needs to be a cause for celebration.
Right. Yeah. And your songs are a lot of times just a little slice of life is the way I would term your tunes. Like, you know, my favorite song of yours is Stoplight. And,
yes.
You know, I told you that reminds me a lot of my childhood and the kids I knew back in the day. And, you know,
if you've ever had that small town influence at all, people empathize with that and they gravitate to that. And the story in Stoplight, by the way, the producer, Pete Skolka, on our most recent CD, love that song as well, Kathy. And, you know, and it's not just people from small towns. If you're not in a small town, you imagine what it would be like. And I think the song captures the essence of that. And just like I've never lived in a large city with the music business. We've done a lot of traveling and been in a lot of large cities, but I imagine what it would be like to live in that hustle and excitement and this this huge throng of people. And something that's always struck me about urban existence is how people lose their identity. You know, you walk down a sidewalk and you're in this mass of humanity, none of which knows a darn thing about you. And some people really like that anonymity, and some people are find it a little daunting. But it's interesting to me.
Did you grow up in Vienna, Missouri?
Yes, ma'am. I am a lifelong Vienna resident, except for the 4.5 years that my parents kicked me out and made me go to college so I could get a real job.
Uh-huh. And where'd you go to school at?
I went 2 years to the University of Missouri, and then I went 2 years to school, the Ozarks in Point Lookout, Missouri, in South Missouri.
Uh-huh. Yeah, my sister-in-law went there for a couple of years, too.
Oh, it's a neat place.
Yeah, it's a very different kind of school.
Yes, it is.
I have a friend who teaches there, too.
You help work your way through by doing a campus job so you don't pile up the monstrous student loans that people have to deal with today. And I love baseball. I was on the baseball team there, and that's one of my really great lifetime memories is the time I spent there.
I guess you got a degree in education then.
I got a history degree and a teaching certificate. I spent 31 years as a high school teacher here in my hometown of Vienna, the University of Vienna. I jokingly call it. And I coached throughout that period of time, too. Basically, I think at one time or another, most every sport that we had, I've coached, particularly on the girls' side. And currently, I'm still coaching high school girls softball and high school girls basketball. We had a big win last night that was exciting, and that was really fun, Kathy. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe something that makes my music a little fresher and a little more honest is I've got a whole nother life. Mm-hmm. Besides the music. And when I sit down with a guitar to write a song or to sing somebody a song, boy, that's a vacation for me. Yeah. It's just a neat experience. And not everyone, but I think some folks doing it, 24/7, it becomes like a job. And even though we sure do enough that you could count music as a job. I never want it to be a job for me. I want it to be something that I enjoy and my listeners enjoy. And mm-hmm. I think particularly over the last couple of years, I think I've really been able to develop a bond with our fans and the people who come to hear us. And it's just a neat experience for me. So I've got kind of the best of both worlds.
At what point did you start writing? Did you write as a kid?
I wrote as a kid. My sister, who is Vicky, who is a very accomplished pianist, tuned my plastic toy guitar to a G chord. Mm-hmm. So I could put my thumb all the way over all six strings and make a nice sound. And then I could move my thumb up and down the fretboard and I could play a song. And I wrote a rock classic by the name of No More Baby when I was about, I was little, probably 9. And I thought it was so neat that I had a song in high school. I did what everybody does who's interested in music. I played for the assemblies and, those kinds of things and the class plays. And then I went to college and at school of the Ozarks. I was a member of a rock band called Jade. And back in the day then, that was the late 70s, 1980. We did a good mix of original music there along with the covers that were popular at the time. And there wasn't a lot of that going on. Something that's kind of neat, Kathy, about music. If you go to certain sections of our country, you don't find many cover bands. People really want original music. If you go to other sections, they're all into covers and they're not as open to original music. And I certainly, there's great cover bands out there and I enjoy listening to music that I'm familiar with, but I think there's something neat in sharing the experience of original music with people who've never heard that before. And, it enables the listener and the performer maybe to go to a place where neither one of them has ever been.
Yeah, I agree. It's a gift that you're giving people, really.
Well, yeah, and their attention and their interest in your music, and particularly their enjoyment of the music, that's a gift back as well.
Right.
I don't think music is meant to be played in the back room of your garage by yourself, mm-hmm. although you can certainly do that, but it's not... It's that shared experience just really makes it cool. There's a song that I wrote a long, long time ago called A Few Good Tunes that says, It's not the fame that I don't have and the fortune I've not made. It's just the smiles on people's faces and a few good tunes well played.
Yeah.
And that kind of sums it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Going back to your band that you were in high school, what was your role in the band? Were you the lead singer? Were you the guitarist?
I was the lead singer and the rhythm guitarist. The folks that played in the band, I'm still in contact with most of them, and we had a great time. Kathy, mm-hmm. You know, we learned a lot. We learned an awful lot about music and about live sound and managing your live sound, mm-hmm. which is a difficult kind of thing, and I use a lot of those lessons today.
Yeah. Are any of them still playing? Are they all musicians still?
Yes. My lead guitar player from back in the day, Mr. Doug Dugan, lives in the Branson area, and he still plays in several musical groups down that way. I think he's the only one besides me. The rest of them, I believe, have all grown up.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah. You said you wrote your first song about 9 years old. How did your songwriting evolve from that point? I mean, that was like a rock and roll song.
Yeah, and it wasn't very good, Kathy.
Well, you're 9 years old. That's still pretty good to be writing. Were you always writing rock, or were you, did you start doing these sort of slice of life kind of songs?
Well, you know, life sort of shows you and teaches you if you just pay attention. Mr. Dave Kirby, Merle Haggard's lead guitar player, was married to Leona Williams, a wonderful lady who is a traditional country music performer from my hometown. And when I first started to write songs as an adult, 20 years ago, I guess a little more, I took some of my songs out to Leona and Dave, and they listened to them and were very polite, very, very kind. And Dave gave me two pieces of advice that are probably the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten about songwriting. The first one is to write songs about things that you know. Be familiar with your subject, know it, and write from the heart, and that integrity and honesty will come through. And the next thing is much more practical. He said, you need to get a shorter pencil. Mm-hmm, and that's really true. Something that I've done over the years, particularly the last few years, Kathy, if you want your music to be acceptable, it needs to be, at least in my opinion, somewhat concise. You need to say what you need to say in a short amount of time without a whole lot of tangents. What's the storyline of your song? Start your story, tell the story, finish your story, and get it done without all of the extraneous things that I used to put in songs. You know, I could play you a 12-minute melodrama back in the day. That sort of limits your audience a little bit. And I don't want to say, you know, there's nothing wrong about music. I don't want to be any way negative about any kind of music. Music is a form of communication, and nothing about music is objective. There's not a single objective thing that you can say about playing music, writing music, listening to music, enjoying music. It's all someone's opinion, and mm-hmm. we're all different on this big old swirling green and blue mass. Thank goodness, or we'd all be bored. And everybody has a different take on what they like and why they like it. I've tried to be in my songwriting significantly more commercial these last couple of years, not necessarily for any other reason than it expands the people who want to listen to your music. Mm-hmm. And my goal in the music business is that I want to play for people who really enjoy what I do. And I would like that to be the largest amount of people that I can reach, mm-hmm. because that bond that you share when you write a song and the person in the third row is staring a hole into your soul, that's a very powerful experience. Mm-hmm. And you know, you have said something for them that they needed to say and didn't know how, wanted to say and were afraid to do it, or have experienced the same thing that your song is talking about.
Right.
I used to play almost completely solo. When you do that, as you well know, you can time anything any way that you want. Now that I'm playing with in a band with two really fabulous musicians, they keep me on the straight and narrow of a consistent time signature. And I think my recent songs have much, much better groove than things that I did back in the day that had nice stories and hopefully good guitar licks and poignant vocals, but they kind of wandered all over the time signature map.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's kind of a revelation, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking about your songwriting, do you ever collaborate with anybody? Have you ever written with anyone else?
No, I have not, Kathy. I would be open to that if I had the opportunity. You know, in the Nashville world, there's just a ton of that going on. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be neat to pick another person's brain and to see what they wanted to do with your idea. Well, I say I haven't collaborated lyrically. Except with my wife, Debbie, who you know is my number one songwriting critic. And by the way, if it passes her litmus test of approval, it's probably a pretty good tune.
Yeah.
And I've noticed as the years go by, her standards have risen a little bit, and that helps me. You know, when I take a song to the band, we all collaborate on the music. And I uh-huh. think when you come to the Uptown Arts Bar, you're going to hear songs with an arrangement that is unique and an arrangement that I think puts the message in its best light. And you're not going to hear necessarily three or four songs that are real similar in structure or content. And I think that's pretty cool. You know, mm-hmm. I think to collaborate with another songwriter too takes you have to kind of swallow your ego a little bit. And accept some constructive criticism and maybe a different bent. And, you know, I think that would be good. I think that would be a very good thing to do. But to answer your question, as of this point, no, I have not done that.
If you had someone that, say, just picking somebody famous, who would you want to collaborate with?
I have heard in Nashville on several of our trips down there, Richie Fagan play at the Bluebird as the I play on Songwriters Night on Sunday nights, and there's a bunch of us songwriters who get up and play for a bit, and then the hit songwriter, the real professional guy who makes his living that way, plays at the end of the show, and Richie Fagan can turn a phrase like no other. Hmm. And he did things like Grundy County Auction and Would You Could You If I Want to Be Your Baby Tonight or whatever that big old long thing is. And the way he says things is so unique and so innovative. I'd love to sit down and write a song with Richie Fagan.
Oh, that's very cool. Who are some of your influences as far as music, either from your childhood or from music currently?
Oh my!
Who do you listen to?
That's a long list of folks. This might kind of scare people a little bit. But if I have time to sit down in the house and put on a CD, and it's usually when Debbie's making me do housework or, you know, some sort of thing where I want something to really rock this place and get going. I love AC/DC's music.
Oh,
and
really?
I always have. I saw them play in St. Louis several years ago with our son, Kurt, who's also a big rock and roll head. And that was the best concert, bar none, I have ever seen in my life and heard in my life. The energy and honesty and the grit and the determination that they have in their performance is phenomenal. You know, and I'm not 19 years old anymore yet. I'm also not 90, which is good.
Neither are they, though.
You know, and they're not 19 either. Yeah. And I'm telling you, those boys can still rock. Mm-hmm. My favorite song in the whole world ever is Jesus Just Left Chicago by ZZ Top. And it has a great blues rock feel. I'm really into Neil Young's older acoustic songs. Mm-hmm. Hey, Hey, My, My mm-hmm. is a big one. Old Man, The Needle and the Damage Done. I'm a big fan of Michael Hedges, the guitar virtuoso who unfortunately is no longer with us. And here in the last few years, I've become much more enamored of traditional country, some Haggard and some Travis Tritt and some of the old classics also kind of float my boat. And, you know, if it's blues, I'm going to like it. And I listen to a ton of blues by all kinds of different artists. So there you have this crazy hodgepodge that ends up being Mick Bird music, where you take a snippet of this and you take a snippet of that. One of our songs, Kathy, I told you we do a couple of rap songs. We have a rap section and a really traditional country section in the same song. Mm-hmm. As a way of the underlying message is, you know, there's good here. There's good here all over. All music gives us something to value and something to enjoy.
Right. Yeah, I think there's value in all styles of music, you know. Because when people say, oh, I don't like this style of music, well, you don't know that. You haven't heard every song in that genre yet. So sure. There might be something you like. You don't know, you know.
We all gravitate towards stuff that we're used to. You know, and things that we understand that experience, and somehow that's comfortable for us. But, you know, sometimes to grow, you've got to kind of color outside the lines just a little bit mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, that's perfectly said. Tell me about your band members. You have two guys that you're going to be playing with at Uptown Arts Bar. You mentioned their names earlier, but mention them again and what they do in your band and how they contribute to the sound of Mick Bird and the Back Road Band.
First of all, these guys are wonderful people. When we go play, we have a great time, Kathy. And, you know, there's all kinds of personal issues and viewpoints and perspectives can do things like tear bands apart. And as you know, and I know, over a period of time, it's difficult sometimes to keep a group of people on the same musical path. Everybody's talented, everybody's created, everybody has their own ideas. We're very good personal friends off of the stage, and that really helps us be tight in our performance and in our perspectives about where the music goes. My buddies are Joe Dunlap on lead guitar. I could talk for 20 minutes about his ability and his talent. The thing that I really appreciate about Joe is that he's always open to a new song and a new interpretation of what he can do to enhance that song. He's a very hooky guitar player. Lots and lots of melodies, often counter melodies to my guitar or my vocals that just mesh to my ear perfectly. And he sure got the chops. He is he's a great blues player, country player, a roots rock player, and very happy to have him in the Back Road Band. Our percussionist is Ray Spiller. He is also by daytime the band director at Vienna High School. And as you know, part of a band director's job is to have the straight and narrow path to time signature. And he keeps us on the groove. And let me tell you, if you wander from that groove, he's going to let you know about it. He's a very talented guy. We opted to not use a full drum set. We've been using a cajon for a few months now, and a full drum set is a wonderful way to create power and you know that sort of volume that can really, really get a crowd into your music. But there's an awful lot of contingencies with a full drum set if you're playing in a small room or in an area that's really not conducive to that much volume coming out of one spot. The cajon has a great bluesy, rootsy sort of sound, and I think it's made our performance really tight. And it's a fun instrument, and yeah, it's easy to carry. You know, we don't lug around all this stuff that a lot of bands have to lug around. And those fellows have added immensely to my enjoyment of the music. When I write a new song, I take it down to the band room and we all get in there after school and start jamming, and ideas flow. And pretty soon, it usually doesn't take very long, we have a song that is arranged in a way that I think the listener is going to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I get to do two different things musically. I do a good bit of solo playing, because those guys still have full-time day jobs. Joe is our super superintendent here at Vienna, and Ray, I said, is our band director. I don't have that, so there's parts of the year where Debbie and I can go get in the van and go play where we want, and in between times, I still do solo gigs. I enjoy that, Kathy. It's a different sort of experience. I generally play a lot of new music when I go do that, like playing for you guys in Kansas City last weekend and the folks that were there. What was really fun, it's a very intimate sort of thing. However, I wouldn't want to do that all the time. Uh-huh. I really feel a sense of energy and collaboration with the band, and we're doing a good number of band gigs as well. We're booking heavily right now for 2016, and I'd like to tell your listeners, if they're interested in having the Back Road Band or even me do something solo for them, give us a shout. The easiest way is our phone number is 573-422-3881. They can go to Mick Bird Music on Facebook, Mick Bird Music on Twitter. My website is mickbird.com, MickByrd. I have email address and all that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. We like to stay with the band in Missouri or just across the border, so we don't have all these contingencies about travels and overnight stays and whatever. However, with Debbie and I, we're willing to go quite a bit longer in Wisconsin in March for a good number of days around St. Pat's. And then our big trip is in April. We're headed to the West Coast. We have very, very good longtime friends in Bellingham, Washington, about 10 miles from Canada. And I'm going to play my way out there. Mm-hmm. And then I think on the way back, we're just going to vacation and piddle and see things that we think will be fun. April 1st, I'm playing in Denver. April 2nd in Casper, Wyoming. April 3rd in Pony, Montana, outside of Butte. Looks like a pretty good possibility of a show. April 4th in Missoula, Montana. And then the following weekend, we're going to be in Bow, Washington, and Bellingham, Washington. And I'm looking forward to that, Kathy, mm-hmm. in July, where we started the planning stages of heading down south. My niece lives in New Orleans, and we kind of want to go to New Orleans. So why not just play your way down there and enjoy it as you go? We're thinking about Little Rock, Oxford, Gulfport, Waveland, and New Orleans, and we'll see if we can get it done.
Uh-huh. And what kind of venues are you going to be playing on this tour?
Generally bars. Uh-huh. You know, and for that sort of thing, I do the more up tempo, the more rhythmically enticing rocky blues sorts of things, and the up tempo country sorts of things.
Uh-huh. Are you doing any house concerts?
Yes, I'm doing a house concert in Denver on the 1st, and would be open to doing more of that sort of thing. You know, Kathy, as you know, in our line of work, that's really become a very, very neat way to connect in a very intimate fashion with a group of people. Mm-hmm. You really know the people in the room or in the yard, and they really know you, and they know where the music comes from. And lots of folks enjoy listening to music without the noise of a bar or a club or sometime even concert hall. And you know, they can bring their beverage of choice and provide some snacks, and mm-hmm. and folks really, really get a neat experience. And there's not the distractions of a public place when you're either playing or listening to music. And I think that's good both ways.
Yeah. And you have a really an audience that's really paying attention and listening to what you're doing and saying. And I think that's what I like about house concerts. It's like everybody is of the same mind, you know, at the same time.
Yes. Yes, that is neat. You know, if you're in a restaurant, you're eating a meal, or if you're in a club, you're having a drink and conversation, and music isn't necessarily the focal point of what's going on. At a house concert, you know, there is that feeling of camaraderie and joint sharing of an experience, but the focus is definitely on the music. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's really fun, as you know, to play music in a really quiet environment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really neat to be able to hear everything that you do lyrically and on your instrument, and have your listeners do that as well.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've mostly lately in the last couple of years, I've been playing mostly coffee houses myself. And, you know, you have that coffee machine going in the background, like you know, 10 seconds, you're just like, oh, my goodness. You know?
Yeah. My running joke would you. could you please turn the coffee maker to A? You know, because yeah. that's going to be prevalent there. Back in the day, I played an awful lot of Borders bookstores, and they were very nice venues.
Borders was really good. I am so sad that Borders is gone. They were so good with musicians.
Yes, they're really, really good to us. We did a couple tours, solo tours, to New England and back, and played at basically only Borders bookstores back in the day. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun. But yeah, the thing that grinds the beans, it's a little loud.
Yeah, yeah, it can get annoying. But you know, you're a musician, you got to put up with it. So
yes, you do.
Well, Mick, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. I want to go over the show one more time with everybody. It's February 13th at the Uptown Arts Bar, which is at 3611 Broadway in Kansas City, Missouri. The show is from 7 to 9 p.m. You're going to be hearing Mick Bird and the Back Road Band. And Mick's got a special, if you come in and pay the $10 admission, you get a free CD of your choice of Mick Bird. And he's got 8 CDs to choose from, and every single one of them is a masterpiece. So you'll want to maybe pay twice, and that way you can get 2 CDs.
That would be fine.
That'd be good too, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Well, Mick, thanks so much, and good luck on the tour. And it sounds like you've got a very busy year ahead of you, so we're looking forward to maybe coming back to Lee Summit again and playing sometime later in the year, and hopefully you'll get to be back this way again soon.
Well, we'd certainly like to do that, Kathy. We enjoy the time we spend up there, and Debbie and I are very appreciative of all you folks at KC Cafe and the wonderful things that you do for independent music, and we appreciate it much.
Tell everybody again about your online presence, your website, and all that stuff.
Okay, on Facebook, it is Mick Bird Music, MickByrd Music. You can also find our performance schedule and everything else on my own website, mickbyrd.com, MickByrd.com. We're on Twitter. We're on Reverb Nation, and there's ample opportunity for folks if they want to hear what the music really sounds like. Any of those places, we have videos and clips up and links that take you to recorded music, and people can hear what we do and hopefully enjoy it and be motivated to get out of the easy chair and come and hear us on Saturday, February 13th.
Okay, great. And we'll look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you, Kathy.